Psalm 18. First three verses which say, I love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Last Lord's Day morning, when we began our worship at Horn Creek, the worship hour was begun actually by a time of praise and prayer before God. Pastor Ron Graham from our Mineola congregation led that time, and he asked, first of all, that a time of particular adoration and praise before God be spent. And he wanted that to be a significant time. And then afterwards, he promised that we would have a time of prayer and petition. But the time of worship was specifically, or this half hour before the worship hour was specifically divided in this way, a time of praise and adoration before God, and then a time in which we spent bringing our petitions before God. After that time period was over, I couldn't help but reflect on the fact that there was a dramatic difference between our approach to God in the time of praise and adoration and in the time of bringing our petitions. It was in fact true that we were a lot more fervent, a lot more effusive as we brought forth our petitions before God. And the time of praise and adoration was punctuated by long periods of silence. I mentioned this to the college class that I had opportunity to lead during the week, and they agreed that that was the case. And I also had opportunity to discuss the very same thing with several others. And as we reflected on that, it was our conclusion that we lacked in our ability to really bring before God the kind of praise and adoration that the Bible speaks about. And so for this reason, I want to spend two Lord's Day mornings talking a little bit from Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. And my hope is to make a small beginning, and I think that's exactly what it'll be, in reviving our genuine praise before God. Listen to the text again. I love Thee, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from all my enemies. If you have the little outline before you, you'll notice that the proposition I'm working on is simply this. We praise God when we see Him in our daily lives and struggles. And I think this is exactly the situation in Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. We could look at the entire psalm, but I want to start with these three verses. I think this is exactly the case in the beginning of this psalm, because the backdrop for praise in David's life is his daily life and struggles. And we get this immediately when we look at the title for this psalm. Interestingly enough, the title, which is more lengthy for this psalm than a lot of the other psalms. You do know, don't you, that the titles for these psalms are actually part of the inspired text. And so we need to take the titles for these psalms seriously as we understand the context in which David wrote them and in the context in which they are to be sung. Look at the title for Psalm 18. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. Well, I want us to see this context. Because these words, I love thee, O Lord, my strength, are born particularly out of David's understanding of God's deliverance of him from the hand of Saul and from the hand of all of his enemies in that land of promise. In other words, beyond any shadow of a doubt, the words of this psalm come directly out of the life experiences, out of the struggles of David. And as David looks back in retrospect, as he looks back and he sees the hand, the mighty hand of God in his life, he can't help but exalt in the Lord and say, I love you, Lord, my strength. Let's look at this context in a particular way. Again, in 1 Samuel. Keep your finger there in the psalm because we're going to go back to it. But in 1 Samuel, I want to show you three incidents in the life of David as he confronts Saul. 1 Samuel 22. And I want you to see how the psalm particularly relates back to these incidents. 1 Samuel 22, verse 3. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and my mother come and stay with you until I know what God will do for me. Then he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. And the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold, depart and go into the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herath. David, in fear for the life of his family, because Saul was after him, took his mother and father over to Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, take my father and my mother and protect them here while I am in the land of Judah. Of course, that was a natural thing for David to do, because you remember that his father was born of Ruth, the Moabitess. And that was a land of his heritage. But he had friends there, and so he took his father and his mother back to that land. And then he went into the stronghold of Judah, the scriptures tell us. Catch that word, stronghold or fortress. Then again in 1 Samuel 23, verse 24. Then they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul heard of it, and he pursued David in the wilderness. And Saul went out on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize him. But a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry, come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land. So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore they called the place the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. It must have been an amazing time where Saul and his armies were pursuing the 300 or 400 or 500 or 600 men that were with David. And David comes out to this particular mountain, and on one side of the mountain he's running and fleeing, and Saul is after him, hot in pursuit. And a messenger comes to King Saul, "Hurry, because the Philistines have attacked the land, and it's most probable that the Philistines had attacked the very property of King Saul." And so Saul retreats to protect his own lands and his own property. And David is spared. And what do they call that place? The Rock of Escape. Then in chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. "Now it came about when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, 'Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepfolds on his way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. And the men of David said to him, 'Behold, this is the day which the Lord said to you, "Behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you."' Then David arose and cut the edge off of Saul's robe secretly. And it came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe." Here was David, hidden in a cave in the wilderness of En-Gedi. En-Gedi was an area on the western shore of the Dead Sea. And if you've seen any pictures of that area, you understand that there were sheer cliffs and many caves. And David was hidden in one of those caves. And lo and behold, in the providence of God, here comes King Saul into one of those caves. This text says to relieve himself. Could have been that he just went in there to take a nap. We don't know for sure. But David was already there, and he cuts off the edge of his robe. The wonderful protection that God was giving King David. Now I'd like you to turn to the very end of 2 Samuel. Well, it's not quite the end. It's chapter 22. Chapter 22 in 2 Samuel. Chapter 22 in 2 Samuel, the very beginning of the chapter, says, "And David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. Thou dost save me in violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies.'" With a very few exceptions, this is, dear friends, Psalm 18. And again, the context is given to us, where David, in retrospect, looks and sees when his kingdom has been established, when the Philistines have been defeated, and as far as the river of Egypt, the river of Euphrates, as far as that river of the east, I should say, the land and the kingdom has been established. David looks back and he gives thanks to God. Go back now to Psalm 18 in your Bibles. Because I think we do see that David praised God because he saw him in his daily life and struggles. Psalm 18. "I love thee, Lord, my strength. I love thee, Lord. The word love here is a word that indicates deep affection for God. It's the kind of affection that we see when the prodigal son comes and the father sees that prodigal at a distance. And the father doesn't wait for the son to get to the house. But the father runs when he sees that son at a distance. He runs and he embraces his son. And he kisses him. And the two stand weeping. I love you, Lord, David is saying. This is no idle academic thing. I love you, Lord. My strength. In one portion of 1 Samuel, we find David with 400 men and King Saul after him with thousands. And David recognizes not only the physical strength, but the emotional strength. And the strength of mind and heart that God had given him in that circumstance. And he says, I love you, Lord. My strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. I think it's very interesting that David, in describing these things, talks about who God is. Do you catch that? He talks about who God is rather than what he has done. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. And he remembers. He remembers that rock of escape where on one side of that huge mountain Saul was chasing him. And he was fleeing on the other side of that mountain. And the messenger came to tell Saul that the Philistines were attacking. And so Saul withdrew. And he named that rock the rock of escape. I love you, Lord. You are my rock, he says, as he remembers that situation. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. That word fortress can also be translated stronghold. And we see it again in this text. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And he remembers the natural fortresses and rocks in the area of En-Gedi, at the shores of the sea. And where he could stand secure from the hosts of Saul in those high places. You, O Lord, are my stronghold, he says. And it's interesting that he uses the metaphor rock again. In verse 2 he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock. And that second word for rock here is sheer and flat rock, indicating the places of cliffs. And we're reminded, and I think this is exactly what David thought about, was that time when he hid in the rocks, literally in the cave. He and his men were in the back of that cave in the darkness. And in comes the king into that cave. And God, as it were, put the king into David's hands. And of course, he cut off the... he sneaks up there and he cuts off the hem of the king's robe. He feels bad about it. Because it's the Lord's anointed. And he remembers that. What a tremendous picture is given here. Look at the text again. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The shield he's talking about here is a shield that covers the entire body. It's the kind of shield those Romans of old used. It was a body shield. It's the shields they used to form those great phalanx so that they could attack and the arrows of the enemy would not touch them. And the wilderness for David was a great shield. And so he says, God is my shield. He is the horn of my salvation. He is the strength and the power of my salvation. And that horn not only represents strength, but it's the kind of horn or vessel which the prophets carried. They carried the anointing oil in a horn like this. And David had been anointed by Samuel from a horn like this. And the prophet had poured that anointing oil upon him to anoint him as king. And he remembers that. O Lord, you are the horn of my salvation. Why are we going through it like this? Why are we talking about this psalm in this fashion? Folks, here's the reason. We praise God when we see Him in our daily lives and struggles. Let me ask you this morning, where do you see God at work in your life? Where do you see Him at work in your life? As David saw Him. You know what my problem is? I'll tell you what my problem is. I usually don't even take time to examine where God has been at work in my life. I'm so busy tripping on with the things I have to do, that I don't even take the time to look back to see where God has been at work. And the consequence of that is that there is not the kind of praise upon my heart and upon my lips that God would have there. And the example is David. And so I submit to you, as I talk to myself this morning, that we really do come to praise and adoration before God when we understand and see His work in our lives and in our struggles. This past week, in the mountains of Colorado, we heard a lady talk a little bit about something that God had done in her life. The lady was Joy Houston. She's from Winchester. And not too long ago, she had a lemon-sized or lime-sized tumor removed from the base of her brain. And she said, I don't want to gross you out with this now, but this is what happened. They shaved my head and they made an incision across the top of my head from ear to ear. And they removed the fore part of my skull. And then very gingerly, they went underneath my brain to destroy this tumor and remove the pieces of it. Before the surgery, she was blind and unable to carry out her work. Four days later, the doctor came into her room and said, "I don't understand this, but there's no reason for me to keep you in the hospital any longer." And she said, "I love you, Lord, my strength." See, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. And what we need to do, folks, is just look back a little bit at the different things God has done. In this congregation, there are two families who have sons who have struggled with cancer over a period of years. And the outcomes have been different. But in each case, isn't it true that it can be said, "I love you, Lord, my strength. You are my rock and my fortress, my deliverer." Is that not the case? Friends, that's what this psalm is all about. And that's what God is calling us to be a people who love Him and adore Him. And as a consequence, worship Him. Let's pray together. Father, may Your life and love and mercy come home to us, we pray. Oh God, and may it be that as we look at Your gracious workings in our lives, we might be drawn like David of old into that worship and adoration to which You call Your people. We pray in Jesus' name.